Antarctica broke away from South America around 80 million years ago. The climate started to change, and by 50 million years ago, ice began to cover the continent. And by 30 million years ago, Antarctica was covered in ice much as it is today. But ice isn't just ice. It comes in different forms. Curtis Oman is an ice expert with One Ocean Expeditions in the Antarctic.
Well, here in Antarctica, we've got two main types of ice. We have sea ice, which forms on the ocean and is frozen seawater, and then glacial ice. So as snow falls and deposits year after year and doesn't melt over the summers, the ice compresses and becomes more dense, forming into glacial ice. And as they break off of land and into the oceans, you form icebergs. You get large icebergs, medium icebergs, small ones. And then once they're smaller than about 5 meters, they turn into bergy bits. And even smaller than that, you get growlers and then brash ice.
Often when you look at the icebergs, they seem to be varying colours as well. Some are beautiful blues, some are sort of quite clear, some are quite opaque. What causes those different colours?
As ice compresses and becomes more dense, as more snow falls on top of it in glaciers, the ice towards the top tends to be fairly white. This is lots of air bubbles being incorporated into the ice. And then as you move down through the ice, you get deeper and deeper blues as the ice becomes more dense. And this is as the light passes through the iceberg, the shorter wavelengths of light don't quite make it through on account of the density and the air bubbles getting smaller.
When you get these icebergs that do carve off a glacier and they're floating around in the ocean, how long are they going to be there for?
The really big ones, the tabular icebergs, these can be upwards of 2 miles, 3-4 miles in size. As they float around the oceans, you can expect them to stick around for about 10 years, depending where they float to. If they find some warmer waters, it may be shorter. But most of the icebergs that we find down here that are smaller will last 2 to 3 years before they break up and melt away.
And when something that's, 10 miles in diameter actually falls off a glacier, what happens?
Well, not much. These massive icebergs are coming from places called ice shelves, where glaciers have floated out into the ocean and the toe of the glacier starts to float. So when these really big icebergs break off, it's really an anticlimactic event because they kind of just break and drift off slowly. There's no big splash. There's none of that. It's for them to be able to break off in huge chunks. They need to just drift away slowly from the glacier.
Now, the tabular icebergs are the ones that look like sort of mini flat islands, but you also get obviously very jagged ones and arches and sort of mountains almost. What are they?
Same ice, but they're just bits of broken off glacier. And as they break, they come off in all shapes and sizes. The arches generally form on the water. As you melt away certain areas, you get holes that form, and then those holes will melt more. And as it gets bigger, it forms an arch, and wave action breaks up the ice, kind of drop in a bucket sort of thing, where anything can happen to any piece of ice through its history. They'll float around, they'll bob, find a storm or two. And as they destabilize, as they melt and roll, you'll see some evidence that the surface has changed. So if an iceberg has rolled over, generally the surface will be glossier. Sometimes you get a scallop texture like the surface of a golf ball, or you get ridges through it where bubbles have been finding their way up the side underwater and melting little trenches. So these surface textures are evidence that that part of the ice has been underwater and spent some time there. Whereas if the surface is jagged and rough, you can assume that that hasn't been underwater and it's just melting from the sun's rays.
And also there's this amazing symphony of sound when you listen to the ice as well. What's causing that?
Yeah, when you're in the ocean floating around, when it's nice and quiet, if there's lots of ice around, especially brash ice, the small decomposing ice, as the ice melts, you get little bubbles of air that are escaping. And being in the ice, they've been compressed over time, just like the snow turning into ice. The air bubbles stay and they get compressed. So when they melt out of the ice, it's like opening a carbonated beverage where the bubbles will escape with a rush. So you hear kind of the snap and crackles of the air melting out of the ice.
And how different is this area of Antarctica in the summer versus the winter, particularly in terms of the ice?
Well, the peninsula gets more snow than the rest of the continent. It'll average several feet of snow per year when the continental average is just a couple centimeters. The sea ice is going to be the main difference. So around the continent, we'll almost double the size of the continent in sea ice. So we're adding about 20 million square kilometers of ice per year throughout the winter in sea ice and then melting that away every summer. The continent being only 14 million square kilometers itself, it's quite a dramatic change, and that has huge implications for the wildlife down here. We don't see any species really staying through the winter, but a few. All the animals down here are transients. They head north for the winter times.
And over, say, the last decade or so, how has the ice coverage in Antarctica changed?
We haven't seen a huge change. over that time, the changes will be fairly imperceptible for the time being. Global change or climate change that we're experiencing over the world is happening at a slower rate down here. The Southern Ocean buffers the continent from huge swings in climate, being a cold zone all the way around the continent. As the world warms up, Antarctica will warm up slower than the rest, but we will see those changes happening more and more rapidly as climate change takes its course.
That's Curtis Oman from One Ocean Expeditions in the Antarctic. For more information, see oneoceanexpeditions.com.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.